This week in your parents' basement, we're hanging out with the best friend of Professor Chaos. From 1994, we're playing General Chaos for the Genesis by Game Refuge, Inc. and published by Electronic Arts. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is our four-star Genesis General, it's Huell Hauser.
I'm just sitting here with my mint edition copy of the number one issue of huge, muscular, destructive, heavily armed, exploding combat warriors in battle.
Is that from the manual?
It is part of the rich, deep backstory of this game, which I'm sure we'll get to.
I am excited already. And our other co-host, he's received awards from Army. The SEAL is for marksmanship, and the Gorilla is for sand racing. It's Todd Brisket.
I'm the most fun-loving soldier in the Army.
Oh, that's nice to hear. You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe to it on iTunes and give us some stars. You can also join our Discord channel by going to ypbpodcast.com/Discord, where you can chat with all of the sweet baby boys. This week, there was Hawk in there.
And oh, yeah.
Also Dale. All of the most famous, biggest stars.
Big name guests.
Yes.
It's like Battle of the Network All-Stars.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, with less tug of war. Also, please support the show by using our Amazon click-through link at ypbpodcast.com. That Christmas is just around the corner.
Oh, yeah.
Get yourself a SNES Classic.
Get some goodies. Buy a turkey. Thanksgiving's coming up, too.
Yeah. Can you buy? Yeah, of course you can buy turkeys on Amazon.
Why not?
Yeah. You can buy a turkey farm on Amazon.
Sure.
So this week's game is General Chaos. Released in 1994, it is a real-time tactics game, according to Wikipedia. It's kind of hard to describe. It's not real-time strategy. It's more like real-time action. Huell, you nominated this game for coverage, so why don't you start the discussion off for us?
Yes. My memory was jogged of this game when we played Haunting, starring Poltergeist. And I looked at the manual, and I saw the back of it. I saw an ad for a little game called General Chaos, and the memories came rushing back. As General Chaos was a Genesis game, another frequent rental of my ute, and I think this is a perfect rental game because it's a pick up and play. You got your 5-man squad, and you're fighting another 5-man squad, and it's just bedlam's the word. A mental bedlam. Bullets
bedlam.
And explosions and fire, and it's a lot of fun. So yeah, it is real time. Somewhere in my head, I might have thought it was like turn-based skirmish strategy game, but it is real time, and it is as the title says, very chaotic.
It's like right. It's like a real time strategy where the strategy is taken out of it. You're just
a little bit.
It's like Command and Conquer, except for that you're not building buildings. It's just a one squad against another.
Yeah, you're taking your 5-man squad of specialized soldiers and just bashing into each other until one is left standing, or one side is left standing.
Mm-hmm. It's chaos. That's what it is.
It's right there in the title.
Yeah.
Did you guys have fun?
You know, this is I do have experience with this one. This was a rental or two in my day.
Yeah.
And I had flashbacks going back. I feel exactly the same. I can beat like two or three maps, two or three missions, and then I just die nonstop, and I can't beat this game. I think where the real fun comes in is the multiplayer aspect.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah.
It's better with two people, either one-on-one where you're sitting there and killing your buddy, or two against the computer where you can strategize together on how to take out the computer.
Yeah, I can
or
see that.
If you have the EA multi-tap. I don't know what their thing is called. Do you guys know what it's called?
It is they definitely have a 4-port upgrade if you're talking about for the Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they talk about it in here. By here, I mean the manual. It's a very
it's a
long
four
manual.
Way, four
spoiler,
way dilly.
Spoiler alert. Yeah.
This game, keep
talking.
This game is indeed up to four players. You can have two on two battles in this thing.
It is called the four-way play. So
the EA four-way play.
Take of that what you will.
Yeah, so I never had the opportunity to do this in a four-player mode, but it seems like it would be a blast.
Yeah,
it seems like it'd be a quirky little party game if you have people over.
Yeah, it's very pick up and play. It's very easy to figure out. The controls are a little clunky because you have to select each soldier individually and then like point to where you want them to go using the D-pad. Like there's a D-pad cursor. But you can only just cycle through each time. So like, if you want to like get to the next guy, but it's a guy you just selected, you have to like, hit it like four times and get it to spin around again. But when you shoot, everyone just shoots at once. So you're constantly spamming the shoot button while also trying to select other soldiers to tell them where to go. So it's a lot of ridiculous controls and just lots of stuff going on at once.
My experience playing it again as an adult man child having since my console years as a kid, growing up being a PC player, is like I just feel like I want a mouse and a keyboard, and I can dominate this game because
this would be
if you had a mouse, you can point and click where you want your guys to go, and also if you had that keyboard there, so you can hit the buttons 1 through 5 to select your guys, you'd be in so much better shape playing this game.
Mm-hmm. Or even if
it was just a little bit slower, or if you could pause it and give out orders or something like that.
Yeah, the fact that you're getting shot and exploded while trying to select the right guy you want and tell them where to go by slowly moving the cursor across the screen. Yeah. It just makes you feel like you're not getting the full control over what you can
do. You're trying to, it'd be one thing if you're, you know, two or even three guys, you got five of them.
Yeah.
And it's not like most of their weapons are kind of close combat, like the flamethrower especially, but even the grenades, you can't really throw that far.
Or the dynamite guy.
Yeah.
That's the weirdest one, is like the dynamite is the one you want to be the furthest away from, and the guy just like plants it right next to him.
Yeah, he's like the second closest that you have to be. So let's go through these fun characters. Mm-hmm. So you have the gunner. So he just has a standard machine gun. He's your standard soldier. He's got like crew cut. You got the chucker. Looks like Chuck Norris.
Yes.
And he's got the bandana and the beard, and he throws grenades.
Yes.
So the gunner's like your mid-range kind of guy. The chucker has to be a little bit closer. He's throwing grenades. And you got the Scorcher, now Mr. Flamethrower. He's the jokester,
the most dangerous unit in the game.
Yes,
that's what this thing says.
He's got a creepy grin and sunglasses, and he's got to be the closest. He's just lighting people on fire. Their flamethrower unfurls a short but deadly curtain of flame and can ignite more than one foe.
It randomly may result in an instant death.
Yes, I've seen that. So yeah, you could just, as a random action, one guy just turns into ash and falls to the ground. So yeah, this is it sounds very violent, but it's a very cartoony style. So we'll get back to that. The other guy is the launcher. He's an old fashioned, hard bitten by the book army lifer, and he's got a helmet. He looks like a drill sergeant, but he has a bazooka. So he's the longest range. He can just sit back and rain rockets down on your enemies.
Confusingly, Wikipedia says that he's the closest thing this game has to a sniper, except he's using like a bazooka.
Yeah. I mean, I guess so. I guess he's the most accurate because he's just shooting one rocket across the screen.
Well, he's a long range sniper man.
He can sit back.
He just has exploding bullets.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, one of those. And the fifth guy, the dynamite guy, is the blaster. Got an eye patch. He throws pretty much just big bunches of dynamite. Mm-hmm. So him and the grenade are kind of redundant. Like, I don't know why we need two of those kind of guys.
Yes,
they basically do the same thing. Mm-hmm. So, which is kind of weird.
Now I had one issue with All right, so you can get into like close combat situations.
Yeah, that is less than ideal.
Where okay, if you do that, then it the two characters have like a dust cloud, like you would see like in Andy Cap.
Andy, or, yes.
Yeah.
Is it Andy Cap dust cloud?
Yep. And then they stand off like a hockey fight, and
yeah,
like
everything else stops.
I was thinking they ripped this off from Blades of Steel.
Yes, I also thought of Blades
of
Steel.
There it is. Yeah.
All right. So it happened two or three times where I would get the opponent down to like one life bar, and then he would just take out a gun and shoot me.
Yeah, but when he shoots you, that's true. When he shoots you, it only takes off one life bar of yours.
It ends the fight.
It doesn't kill you. It doesn't kill you. It takes off one life bar.
Right. Well, one life bar of the overall game. But it ends the close combat fight. Like, you're done.
Yeah, I was like, I was just about to knock this guy out.
Yeah, that's another random action, kind of like the Scorcher. It just happens. I mean, I've had it happen for me before.
So seems like it's like one out of every three fights it happens to me.
Just about. So yeah, when an enemy soldier gets close to yours and kind of walks on top of them, you can have these close combat fights pop up. Uh-huh. And I get what they're trying to do. They're trying to mix up the action a little bit, but they're really just pointless.
Yeah.
I was not a fan. Like, it was more like a chore. Because it's just button mashing. Like, you can have like a block and a kick and a punch, but like what I found was the lower punch, where you're just like wailing on their crotch, that seemed to do the best. So I would just spam that over and over again and hope for the best. And most of the time I would win those.
Nobody said war was a fair fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did not lose a single fight, except that the guys
when he got shot.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Ah, that's war, man. So they say.
Yeah.
According to General Chaos. So yeah, back to the cartoony style. I really like the style of this. I think it lends to this kind of game.
Nice little drawings in this game.
Yeah, but still very morbid.
Yeah, I have a little info on that too.
Oh,
this company, Game Refuge Inc. They do two other games you might have heard of. One is Arch Rivals, and the other is Rampage.
Oh, Rampage.
So
that makes sense.
Yeah, they did those when they were still with Midway, and then they kind of spun off into their own company here. But that's kind of why the art style looks similar.
Yeah, I can tell that now that you mention it. Yeah, that's fun.
They also, on their Wikipedia page, it says they also did Star Trek Voyager, a light gun arcade game set in the Star Trek universe with new enemy characters. Named 2002 Video Game of the Year by Walmart.
What? Didn't know they had awards.
Yeah.
And also, why...
You never heard of the Martys?
Yeah.
The Wallys.
Why is Walmart giving an award to a light gun arcade game? It's not even...
Yeah.
A game you can buy at their store.
It's like, even weirder.
Maybe they had it set up in the lobby or something, but...
Maybe their manager just went to the arcade a lot and was like, I like this game. It's getting Game of the Year. Everyone's like, no one cares, Gary.
Yeah, I'm looking at this game now. I do not remember this at all, in the slightest.
I do remember it. It's not one I ever played. I only remember it because it's got good old Jerry Ryan's Borg face on the side, and she takes up a lot of real estate on this thing. And also, whenever I take a peek in, there's these crude polygon Borgs running around that you have to shoot. That's pretty much all I remember about this Game of the Year for 2002 by Walmart.
Do you get to play as Kate Mulgrew?
No, you play as generic trooper.
Oh,
that you don't even see because you are
first person light show. Yeah, but cutscenes. I mean, come on. Yeah.
You probably play as a red coat, or what are they?
Red shirts.
Yeah.
Yeah, but. You die the first level no matter what.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be very fun at all.
I got red coats on the mind because of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yes, of course.
So,
Star Trek Voyager light gun game. That just doesn't make sense
to me. I just wanted to get our obligatory reference to Star Trek in early this show.
Oh, right. Yes, of course.
Yes, I don't know if Frakes was ever on Voyager, but he probably was.
Oh, they didn't discover his transporter clone somewhere along the way?
In the
you
other
sure
quadrant?
About that?
Yeah.
I don't think they did in that one, but I'm sure he directed some episodes.
Oh, sure. As Riker, like full costume.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I alluded to this earlier, but this is a deep, deep, rich backstory.
Oh, so deep.
The deepest. Todd, I'm guessing you saw the manual.
I did.
So there is a 16-page comic that starts the manual off as the backstory. And to summarize, Chaos and Havoc were brothers who had a long interest in the military, and they study tactics and have war games and stuff. But one day, Chaos had possession of the comic that I mentioned at the start of the show. And Havoc was so greedy that they fought over it and tore it in half. And from then on, they were instant rivals forever. Mm. So they apparently each came to power separately in different fictional countries. That part they're not very clear on. So General Chaos is from Moronica, and General Havoc is from Viseria. So they each rose to power and then have just been warring ever since. So then they decided one day that big battles weren't working anymore. So they each trained specialized soldiers, each specializing in a different weapon, and then would settle their scores on the small-scale battlefield as these specialized teams fought each other.
Mm.
So that is the convoluted reverse-engineered backstory for why we have this 5-on-5 skirmish game. And it's a very fun comic with different cartoons and screenshots and stuff. Mm. It's exciting. I suggest you check it out.
Oh, yeah. It's good. It's got some kind of bizarre artwork in it, too.
It's very strange. Yeah.
It's like half is drawn, and the mm-hmm. other half is copy-pasted sprites from the game pasted in at awkward angles.
It is weird, because they'll be like cartoon bodies, but like the heads will be sprites. Just to show different panels, and it's very strange. But
yeah, I mean, if
it summarizes the game, I guess. I don't know.
We've covered this game in the past, and that one we said had a pretty deep and convoluted story. But this one, that's Final Fantasy VII, by the way.
Yeah, I was wondering.
This one blows that story away. This one is the deepest backstory ever.
This is like a novel. With a true, true double main character.
Wow.
Now, it's odd in the game. You just, if you do the single player, you automatically are General Chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And you can never be General Havoc. Well, I mean, I guess title character. But at the same time, it would be nice if you could switch sides. Maybe I want maybe I want to shoot the blue people and I want the red people to run around. I can't do that, I guess.
Well, Havoc is clearly meant to be like the heel of this game. Like he's got,
yeah.
And you can tell because he's got like a monocle.
Yeah, a monocle and a mustache. And in the comic, he is the one that starts the fight that tears the comic in half.
Ah, oh, dastardly.
So, I mean, he's the greedy one.
Yeah. What a loser.
As they say, he made the mistake of showing it to Havoc, bringing out Havoc's natural streak of greed and treachery. So there's a little hints there that Havoc is the real bad guy here.
Yeah, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
I had a question for you, which is, how many Mario 2s does this manual get?
Getting to it already, huh?
Mm.
Well,
I'm excited to hear this one because this manual is something else.
It's huge. It's a 55-page manual, 16 of which,
what?
Yeah, 16 of which are the backstory comic. There are fun artist bios, they call them. In Haunting, they were author bios, but these are artist bios. highlighting the guys behind Arch Rivals, Rampage, Pigskin, and Xenophobe, to name a few.
Oh.
They are veteran daydreamers, Brian Collin and Jeff Nauman, and they're pleased to present General Chaos. So that's always fun when you read the bios that are clearly written by the people they're about. Yeah, I mean, it's real fun. It has like a little bit of cheekiness. I mean, just looking at a game like this, you can tell. It's a little too wordy. Like, they go into like a little bit too much detail about like each game mode and like controls and stuff. It's like, we get it. We're just gonna shoot each other. But I mean, they have like fun bios of the different characters. They talk about like the medics and stuff.
It's got a bit of comedy in there.
Yeah, a little bit of comedy. I mean, they go over the, not really items, but like the bonuses you can get just for extra points. So, I mean, it really covers everything, but maybe covers everything a little too in-depth. So, if they shorten it up a little bit, I'd probably give it more. But I'm going to give it 3.5 out of 5, Mario Tennis.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I would
go 4 if they shortened it a bit. Mm-hmm. A little too wordy. Mm.
My favorite thing about these bios, and this isn't video game specific, but I love perusing the old IMDb and coming across some no-name actor that had like a bit part on NCIS and see this huge bio, and it's so flourishing and developed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
like the IMDb.
You know that either like he or like his agent friend wrote that.
Yeah. It's like classically trained at the New York Academy of Arts. This up-and-comer.
Yeah, that's a big one. The up-and-comer.
Yeah, this has the industry buzzing. And he was like the cashier that Ice-T talks to on SVU.
His 5 years at Juilliard really prepared him to play homeless man with beard.
With beard. Dog groomer at scene of the crime. Mm-hmm.
I also like when they mention an acting coach that you also have not heard of.
Right, like we're supposed to. Whoa.
Oh, Fred. Guy.
Sorry.
Guy DeFollet?
We both chat.
Wait, who's,
guy, yeah.
who's your fake acting coach?
Oh, I was going to say Fred Delore.
Fred Delore.
Yeah.
Oh, only the very best get to. He had a session with Fred Delore.
He handpicks his students.
Yes.
But yeah.
I was going to say Kirk Cameron.
Oh, okay. I'm sure he'll give
also,
out.
Also known as
Chauncey.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
When you can tell with those acting chops, you're only learning from the best.
I have established a thriving town in the Shimto Plains.
you can feel the pain. Mm.
You know what I can feel from that sound clip is one take, because that's what kind of pro. That's what you get when you get Cameron. You get one
I
take.
I was
and it's,
raised by a kind herd of wild cows.
It's either because he's such a pro or they only had the budget for one take.
Mm-hmm. That one.
Going by the set pieces, I'd have to say it's the second option.
I mean, they had to wrap before noon because they didn't want to pay for the craft service for lunch.
Yeah.
I'd use the light.
That clip, you can hear the pause when he looks toward the cue card. It's the mark of a true pro.
I was raised by a kind herd of wild cows.
We should have him as a guest.
Chauncey.
Oh.
Hey, I hope he calls in at some point. That would be good.
That would be really nice. Yeah.
All right. But so just for a little bit of history on this game, General Chaos, to remind our listeners. It was a bit of a cult classic, but there's no sequel. A Kickstarter in 2013 to make one was unsuccessful. It's pretty affordable still, though, which that surprised me because I hadn't really heard of this game. It's about $13 for the loose cart or $25 for the box and manual.
I'm guessing it's just no demand.
Yeah, I could see that because this... I don't know. I mean,
you're not getting a lot of mileage out of this one, unless like Teeb said, it's a two player party game.
Yeah, I could see where this would actually be a lot more fun as a two-player game, because then you, then at least you have the same limitation.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the computer does not. The computer can control all.
Everyone. Yeah, I can see that. I'm shocked that they even tried to make a Kickstarter sequel for this.
Oh yeah, I
like I watched they did not the video. Oh, did you? It's still there.
Yeah. It's, I mean, the guy seems like a nice dude, and he's, this is like his pet dream project, but it didn't look good from the video that he had.
Hmm. Was it Brian Collin or Jeff Nauman?
Brian Collin.
Oh yes. Boy.
And so they had $125,000 goal. This was in 2012,
I think.
12? Yeah.
13 says Steege.
So they had $125,000 goal, which is, you know, that's a decent chunk of change for a game. But they only made about 10% of that. They got 15,000.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
With 357 backers, so they're about 100,000 shy of their goal.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like it, yeah.
And this is not a game I would like to have a sequel made for. It works well in this sprite graphics. These kinds of animations. The 3D models updated in that way, it just didn't look good. It didn't have the same charm.
I mean, was it the same five characters? Like, they had to have added more.
It was. It starts with the same five, but they're talking about expanding with more classes.
Okay. Like, if you could, like, unlock more the further you went, that might be fun.
Or just...
There's a lot you could do with it, but at the same time, it's just going to be the same stuff.
I mean, the whole time I was playing this, I was thinking, wow, I've played this before, but the gameplay has been better. And and you'll like this little gem. What if they made this game in the style of, like, XCOM or something like that, where you have to hide behind cover and you have different weapons?
Well, that's turn-based.
Yeah, and that's
it
also...
Is turn, yeah, and... But it,
that's
it
just
seems
XCOM.
Like it would be a lot more fun.
If they made this like XCOM.
Yeah.
You know, or as I played
XCOM.
As I played when I was a kid, and I've put my hours into the Jagged Alliance series, which is a wartime game. It's not as fantastical or scientific as XCOM. Mm-hmm. But it's the same kind of game.
What what I thought of when playing this game was I like the first-person shooter version better, which is a little game called Team Fortress, or Team Fortress 2.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Team Fortress. Team Fortress 2, specifically. Like, Team Fortress is Team Fortress. That's fine and dandy. But Team Fortress 2, with all their different classes and animations and characters, they directly and deliberately ripped off this game.
Mm. Yeah, but in that one, it's just one person controlling one character. And then
I'm talking about just the characters, the personality that they have in that game.
Yeah. But I just mean for that game, that, like, that's why that's better. Like, you work as a team with like five people.
Oh, true. Yeah.
It's a top down.
More capacity to control one person.
This is a third person skirmish team control thing.
Yeah. Speaking of which, guys.
Yes.
I didn't go over my strategy for how I actually beat a few matches.
Okay.
It was able to beat a few. And they don't give me this option every time, which is why I didn't beat more, is every once in a while, there's going to be a squad that has all of the exact same guy on it. It's going to be like all machine guns or all grenade guys.
The all machine gun one, yeah.
I picked that one because it's so much easier. You can just like spam. You can get your cursor out a distance from a guy you want to kill, spam your thing five times so they all move to that one spot and just mow down a single enemy at a time.
Yeah, when I had the assault team, I think it is, because they're all machine gun guys.
Yeah.
I just put them all in a line, like in the middle of the map, and then they just wiped out everybody.
Yeah, it's so much easier that way.
Because all you do is just smash.
You don't have to
smash that A button.
The distances for every single individual. You just get all your guys at the same distance.
It seems like I got further than you guys. I don't know if it's because you guys were just bored or just couldn't beat some levels.
I played for about, I'd say about 45 minutes.
Oh.
And I beat, I want to say, like four or five stages, and I lost about an equal number.
Okay. I think I lost the first one and then just won all the rest of them.
Oh, look at...
It's like all you have to do is just you put your Scorchers next to everybody, and everyone else goes in the middle, and then you just smash that A button. But did you guys see that commando mode?
Oh, yeah. I never tried that out because it looks like, seems like you would get dominated because you only have two fellas there. But
you have two guys, but you can control them directly, where like you can actually move around one person at a time. And I tried it once, and it was impossible. You only have grenade and machine gun guy. And it's just like, they just get mowed down. Like, that's just like super hard mode. It's insane. I don't know why it's even there. It's for masochists.
It's the Pascal Spader mode.
Yeah. It's the handicap match.
Yeah.
Well, when you play multiplayer, that is who you play as. I mean, not one-on-one, you play the full squad, but if you're playing co-op or if you are playing four-player games, you play the commando mode. Each person gets two guys.
That makes sense. They probably can't handle like 20 characters running around. The Genesis just melts.
At certain times, just because the animation is kind of slow at various points, I was like, ooh, I don't think it's handling this that great. I mean, 94, this is kind of a late release for the Genesis, so.
Yeah. It looks like it. I think it handles everything okay. Mm-hmm. But yeah, things could, if there's a lot of explosions, it can kind of grind a little bit.
For comparison's sake, the Sega Saturn came out in Japan in November 1994. Mm.
Okay.
So, couple months after this game came out was the first 32-bit console.
Now there's a system we have not covered any Saturn games yet. We need to get some Saturn on here.
Yeah, we did 32X and Sega CD, but that Saturn is still sitting out there.
Yeah, we haven't come to agreement on a game. We did talk about one game once, and then we decided, let's wait. Let's do something else.
My choice has always got to be the old Panzer Dragoon, which you guys seem to have not heard of before.
That's the only one I have heard of, I think.
Is that the one?
They made an Xbox sequel, so I think that's the only reason I know that name.
Is that the one where you like ride a dragon?
Yes.
Or do you ride a dragoon?
Ooh.
Do you panzer a dragoon?
Eternal questions.
Words that don't exist.
Well, Todd, do I understand that you have a little segment you want to do this week?
Oh yeah, guys. I think we all agree. We all agree here that this game's okay, you know, doesn't blow our collective minds.
Oh.
It's a gym, a middle of the road gym, as I would say, like a ruby or something. You know, it's middle of the road,
like
middling,
like an opal,
like an aquamarine.
Yeah.
But I have a couple of reasons here why this game is the most best game of all time. All right, the first one is called "Grab Your Bazooka, Turd Nuggets."
Whoa! Language.
And it's written by somebody that goes by Booze Fighter. I don't know if he's fighting against booze or he uses booze to fight. I don't know.
It could be either one.
Either one.
All right.
We'll read and maybe we'll find out.
Yeah.
Oh, of the Chicago Booze Fighters?
All right. He writes. He or she.
Yeah.
Writes. Holy crap. Way too many amazing things I have to say about this game. It could possibly be the top five best multiplayer games to date. This game feeds off the competitive instincts brotherly have, or sisterly if you happen to be some cool-ass dames, and quenches the thirst when you aim your bazooka to cause total destruction.
Did you write this?
No.
Okay.
The game, I believe, was derived from an old NES game, North versus South, which I need to review in the near future. First things, each player could choose what side you're on, red team or blue, and each take turns selecting a state in a made-up map. At opposite sides is the opposing team's base, which is ultimately the goal. Now, you could select a team of five, which is a point-and-click team, or a team of two, which is completely controlled by you. Best choice for versus matches. The teams consist of a machine gunnist, flamethrower, bazooka, grenader. The maps have everything from rocks to walls, broken down cars, and rivers to use as fortification or a good spot to kiss your ass goodbye. This game has stood the test of time, and if time was really a test, every answer would be, is the answer A, General Chaos, B, General Chaos, C, General Chaos, or D, General Chaos and Chinese food. Thus, man, it passes the test. I guarantee you'll enjoy this game while yelling out medic, which could be one of two things, maybe both if you're lucky. One medic is your well-trained dog that can retrieve you a cold one because this game is so good you don't want to pause it. Or two, you're yelling at your bud to come rescue you so you can take out the water tower for bonus points. Grab the game at your local flea market or eBay. Doesn't matter, because GC is the reason why we pick up the controller. 5 stars.
Wow.
Wow.
GC.
GC. It is the reason we live.
Reason to live.
That was quite a bit more detailed than most of the reviews we hear on here.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yes, it was. I mean, if you answered D, General Chaos and Chinese food, you're a winner. And
oh yeah,
you're set. Right, the next one's a little bit shorter, and it's written by somebody called Alexis, written funnily. Weirdly.
Is it Alexis Bledel, star of Gilmore Girls?
I think it's spelled differently, but I can only assume it is Alexis Bledel. All right. A super groovy game. A classic. Sure brilliance. Great innovation. Ever played Red Alert or Tiberian Sun or something of the sorts? This is in some way like this game. Its strategy, use different men to destroy your opponent. This is child rivalry gone too far. The General Chaos is fighting his arch enemy from days long past. But still, a very fun and challenging game. 5 stars.
Oh.
And that one was written, by the way, Phyllis, just so we can place it in time, like we've done on other of these reviews.
Oh,
written,
oh no.
Mere months before 9/11.
Oh.
In July, just after the Independence Day.
A simpler time. A more innocent time.
Time of innocence.
A time when cartoonish war wasn't so ghastly.
Mm, yes.
When it was fun to explode and shoot people.
Speaking of which, didn't you guys catch how this whole game is an allegory?
No.
For that episode of Full House where Stephanie and DJ split the room down the middle with that white tape.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's all coming into focus.
Mm-hmm.
I would say so. Which one is which, though?
Ooh, tough, because I think General Chaos has the bathroom, and General Havoc has the window.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Which would mean Stephanie is Havoc? I think so, yeah. Yeah, it makes sense.
I mean, this is where he got the idea for this game, of course. Everything's a ripoff. I think we've covered this many times.
Oh yeah.
And so indirectly, Team Fortress 2. And indirectly from that, Overwatch. Overwatch ripped off from Team Fortress 2 heavily. Overwatch, the money making juggernaut. It has professional leagues, make a $1 billion industry. It all came from this Full House episode.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I'm sure that was a ripoff of something from The Odd Couple, something like that.
No, they wouldn't do that.
Three's Company. Man.
Yeah.
The other game I kept thinking of while playing this one, Metal Slug.
Oh yeah, yeah. With the characters, yeah. Now there's a game we need to cover. Metal Slug. That's a work of art.
Yeah.
Nice sprite work in Metal Slug series.
Get it on the chart.
Yeah. You can play it at every laundromat arcade has that game. So also came out later than I thought. First game, 1996.
Oh, that is a little bit later than I thought. Yeah. But then, right after that, they cranked out one a year. That must be why.
Yeah. Yeah, and then they just churned them out. All right. Well, Huel, was there anything else you wanted to share about this one?
Oh, this is much more common these days, but I appreciate that there is a tutorial in this game.
Oh, that's
very, very rare for a 16-bit era.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun.
Yeah. I played that. It did not really help me that much because you get so overwhelmed with everything. But
yeah, I kind of like it helps you understand the ranges.
Yeah,
just how to point someone to go to things. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Todd, how about you? Oh, I almost forgot to ask. How many DuckTales for this one?
Oh, you know what? I haven't put any thought into it.
Does it factor anything in?
Guys, you know what the DuckTale scale factors in most of all, and second of all, but most of all, nostalgia and replayability.
Oh,
those are the factors.
Got it.
Seeing that I have minute nostalgia for this, it was a rental for me. Nostalgia in the artwork in it is pretty spazzy and snazzy. I like the artwork, but replayability, no, it's not there. That being said, this gets a paltry 0.5 on the DuckTale scale.
Paltry?
Paltry.
Sorry. Let me reword that. 0.05. 0.05.
Oh, whoa. Wow.
Come on.
That's below.
That's insane.
That's below average. Or well below, actually.
That's below, what have we done lately? There's something you gave a 0.1, which was just terrible.
Might have been Haunting. I'd put it on par with Haunting starring Poltergeist. Whatever I gave that one, 0.1 maybe.
I feel like that guy a 0.2.
I'll give it a 0.2. Hey, you know what? I like that artwork. I like that cheeky little manual. I like it. I'll bump it up a little bit.
You went 0.05 off the bat. That's. Yeah. I'm calling into question the integrity of this.
Dare you?
The DuckTales scale. I'm finally doing it. I've had enough.
Wait, you're not keeping track of these ratings on a chart or in a diary next to you? Or
are you asking me or Huel? Yeah. Because I'm not.
Or both.
Sure.
Yeah. I think you should write it in the back of one of these goddamn manuals in that note section that they all have. Yeah.
We'll finally have a use for it.
Yeah.
Oh my god. I'm doing a study. Doing an expose on the DuckTales scale.
Just remember that it factors in two things.
Mm.
Replayability and nostalgia.
Oh, both. Okay.
Mm.
Okay.
Well, on that note, I think we should probably move along to the email portion of the show. Todd, did you receive any emails?
Oh, you know what? I did. And it is from a new writer. Good to have new writers write into us. And
we always love to hear from all of our fans.
They write, the title is called, "Was Fallout 4 Inspired by Halo?"
Oh.
"There are many similarities. Waking up from being cryogenized like the Master Chief in Halo 1.
Right.
The ghouls are similar to the Flood. I don't know what Flood is. I never played Halo. Super mutants look almost like brutes from Halo 2. Pip-Boy is actually Cortana in a way, just not holographic.
Oh, okay.
The Brotherhood equals USSC and so on. Who agrees? Ben from Peoria."
Huh.
Well, Ben, that's a compelling argument. And it's pretty obvious. The answer is yes.
No, I don't really think so.
Oh. We got diverging answers. And I'll give them, hey, they were inspired, but it's not the same.
I don't even think it's even an inspiration. It's just full-fledged ripoff. I don't know how Microsoft hasn't gotten their lawyers together yet.
I think they Fallout just rips off whatever movie was the first to have someone cryogenically frozen and then waking up. Like, I feel like that's a pretty common sci-fi trope.
From, like,
at
the
point.
60s.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of honestly barely remember the Halo series, which is...
Have you played the Halo?
I played the first three games, I think. It may have even just been the first two. And I remember thinking, oh, these are fun little romps. But I did not understand, like, why they were the greatest game ever to some.
Well, it was, again, all about the multiplayer.
I guess, but...
And I think for a lot of the console kiddies, as they say, not as cool as us PC people. For the console kids, this was their first-person shooter. This is what they had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess maybe...
Before Call of Duty and all that other crap.
Yeah, I guess maybe I was just shady because I was playing, like, Quake and Team Fortress and even, like, Counter-Strike. I think it predates Halo.
So you were a cool PC kid.
Yeah, really cool. I don't know. Well, Huel, did you receive a mail?
Oh, I did. I got an email.
Oh, would you like to read it this week?
Oh, I will read it now. Oh. It says, "Dear YPB, I'm so glad you played my game last week. I feel like it's underappreciated. Being the star of a video game is tough, but I knew I had to do it because I'm so special. You see, it's very important that people know that I'm red. It gives me character, and it makes me distinct from the other ghoulies. Things that are different colors than other things really stand out. It made me think, what's your favorite alternate color for a video game cartridge? Signed, Red Reamer."
Oh! the star of the video game we played last week.
Gargoyle's Quest 2.
Wow.
The true star of the Ghosts and Goblins series. The true star.
Yeah.
Must have heard that we covered the game.
I'm glad he's spent so much time in the human world, he now knows how to write in English, too.
We're not under construction anymore, so maybe he took some online classes or something.
Yeah. Went to University of Phoenix and got his degree.
Need Phoenix University?
Whatever advertises during
whatever the one that's not a real college.
Yeah. Trump University.
The one that advertises it. 12:30 at night.
Yeah. Between the ads for the call lines and catheters, you can also go to college.
Life alert.
Yeah. Life alert. And have you seen the one where it's you poop in a box and you send it away?
Why?
Then it tells you if you have, like, if there's something wrong with your stool, it tells you.
Is like if your pipes are clogged, you can just mail your poop to places.
Yeah, you can.
Wait, is that for genetic testing to get your history?
I don't. I think it might be for colon cancer. But
are you sending your poop?
It's also so bizarre because, like, it's like a little animated character that's a cardboard box telling you to poop in it. Like,
what if that's
is it like they put eyeballs on it? Like, please poop in my mouth.
There's a bullseye at the bottom of the box.
Poop here.
What if that's the new Unabomber or Anthrax mailer? You just start mailing boxes of poop to government buildings.
Oh,
I need that to happen.
Here, I'm sending you guys the link and you can watch it.
Don't send me anything else.
So,
Hollywood Upstairs Medical College.
Hey, everybody. Got your poop in a box.
Mail your poop right to me. It seems insane.
But my favorite color part is gold for
back to the ask.
Old Zelders.
Red Reamer had a great ask, Red Reamer.
Good job, Red Reamer.
Because the gold Zelda.
I mean, that's
the gold standard.
The gold standard for sure.
The cart colors.
Without even being gold.
I have a soft spot for a game we covered with friend of the show Hawk.
Mm.
Little joint called Bible Adventure.
Yeah,
I have that sky blue cartridge sitting on my shelf right here. I love that sky blue color.
It's in a shadow box.
That's because it came down from heaven.
Right. It's like God's talking directly to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. N64 had a good amount of fun colors, but
yeah, it really did.
Besides the gold Zelda, my favorite is probably the yellow Donkey Kong 64 cart.
Ooh, nice.
Because DK loves them nanners.
They also had, I think it came up on the Doom. So the Doom cart is red, is it not?
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Is that right, Steve? So. Steve is our Doom 64 expert.
Yeah, he's the expert.
No.
What am I thinking? It might be the Super Nintendo Doom that is red.
Mm. You are correct. The Super Nintendo one is red. The N64 list of alternate cart colors is literally two pages.
Like, what?
None of them.
They went nuts. Another favorite. Oh, sorry.
Turok 2 and 3, WWF No Mercy.
Yeah, I was about to say that. No Mercy is a black cartridge because we're in the thick of the Attitude Era.
Yep.
Got to let everyone know this is hardcore.
Like, just a bunch of weird games that it's like, oh, really? This has an alternate?
Yeah, like, why did they bother?
Tony Hawk, Pro Skater, all three of them. Rugrats in Paris.
What?
Donkey Kong 64, that makes sense. Army Men, like those games are basically like shovelware.
Yeah, they are.
And they have cart colors for that. And even a sports game, like NBA Jam, NFL Quarterback Club, All-Star Baseball have red carts.
What?
Like, yeah, there's a lot going on here with colors in N64 carts.
So I must have found like a batch of red plastic on bulk. Or just like, just put it on the sports games.
Yeah.
Went down to Costco.
Yeah.
Yeah, 64 really did it up. Yeah, it's something we're losing. Along with all the other fun stuff. We're losing colored cartridges.
Although I will admit if I get a game box that is not the size of the other game boxes at this point, it just annoys the hell out of me. Like,
oh, I'm furious, yeah.
Yeah, like the last one I can remember is Dragon Warrior 8, I think it was, had like one of those little cardboard DVD boxes. And as a result, it would just get smushed if you tried to lay other boxes on top of it. So that, and at least like Time Crisis was a weird box, but it came with the Namco gun inside of it. So
yeah, kind of necessary.
Yeah. Well, I received one mail this week. Hi guys. You know, some people have weird names like Beth or Lena, but I was wondering, what's your favorite name in a video game? Just because you like it or because it's weird or entertaining. Best wishes, Geraldine.
Oh. Geraldine writing in.
Yes. Some would say that you do not hear from many Geraldines nowadays. But
I have heard that, yeah.
Yes. But this letter writer, coincidentally, is named Geraldine.
Boy, this is a very, very open-ended question.
Yes.
Huh. I mean, is it lame to say Red Reaper?
it's on the brain at all.
It's on the brain, but that's the only reason. Beside it being great,
yeah.
Man, I don't know.
We got Cloud Cloud and Sephiroth are the classic ones.
Yeah, Sephiroth. Yeah, you got Solid Snake. That's a good wanger joke. Man, it's tough. Catch me off guard here.
Yeah. My favorite has got to be from a game we've covered and has come up today.
Chauncey.
Oh!
Chauncey!
Of course!
That doesn't sound like Chauncey. Chauncey.
Chauncey.
Chauncey.
Yes. How could I forget?
Chauncey!
That's a great, solid choice. Old Chauncey. Steve, did you have...
So I was trying, the thing that sprung to mind for me was, Final Fantasy VI, because there's a whole bunch of people with weird names like Locke and Cyan and Sabin. And then then there's just like Edgar. So I'm going to go with Edgar.
Yeah, I always love when like a crazy character is just like a dumb name.
Yeah.
Not and, dumb, like simple.
And Final Fantasy VII has a bit of that too. There's like Vincent and Zach and Barrett. And those are kind of normal names. And then you have Sephiroth and Cloud. Mm-hmm. So they're like the TV Tropes even has a whole page of stuff. Aerith and Bob is what name it, where just inexplicably there's a whole bunch of weird names like Baldur's Gate, Valgar, Adjantis, Keldorn, Jahira, Imamin, Viconia, and Jan.
Jan.
Yes.
It's like the Brady Bunch over here.
I have one other good one that came to mind, which is, well, two of them real quick. A great name, BJ Blazkowicz.
Oh, yeah.
Wolfenstein. Yeah.
Yes.
Great name. The other one that I always keep it in mind, if I ever get a puppy, this is gonna be its name, Dog Meat.
Mm.
Oh, definitely.
Fantastic. Fantastic name.
Yeah.
And I'll give a shout to a game we recently covered, Alucard.
Oh, yeah.
It's a fun one.
Mm.
Yeah, that
one might be taken from history, though. Real
Does
life.
Does that matter? Well, so is PJ Blazkowicz. He was a real soldier.
He killed the Nazis.
Yeah. The Scourge.
Mm-hmm. So, Todd, did we have anyone who needed help this week?
Oh, yeah. We do have somebody that needs our help. So let us ask the Sweet Boys. So send in all your asks to parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com, and we will keep it anonymous for your privacy and ours. All right, so this one is from Anonymous, and they write, "My daughter, 22, went and bleached her hair behind my back. I have told her countless times in the past to never bleach her hair because it damages it forever. How do I punish her for disobeying me?"
Hmm. I mean, the obvious answer is to shave her head.
Yeah. Does it say how old the daughter is?
The daughter is 22.
Yeah. I mean, she should not be disobeying her parents.
Yeah, I mean, if you're 22, you should have learned by the age of 22 not to go behind your parents' back and bleach your hair.
No, absolutely not. I mean, there's rules in this house. And if you disobey them, all your hair is gone.
You know, I'll go one step further. You need to really teach her a lesson. Don't shave it off. Just light it on fire.
That does accomplish the same goal.
And you'll show her, hey, you know, you want to bleach your hair? Guess what? It's flammable. It's flammable. You don't want to do that. Come on.
Yep. Those chemicals can light up at any second. It's just the slightest spark. That's what you get.
Yeah, I'm coming around to Huel's point of view. Definitely no. Just shave her head.
Oh, considering the alternative,
you should also ground her. Take away her iPad for at least 3 weeks.
That's a long time. No Candy Crunch for you.
No crunch. No Candy Crunch.
That's what you get. No crunch for you.
Well, on that note. Yeah. Todd, was there anything else you wanted to say before we sign off here?
Yeah, just wanted to this little known fact that I found. There's actually a movie sequel that was created for General Chaos. It was a movie, and it was called Major Pain, starring Damon Wayans.
That is a classy film.
It's all coming together.
Yeah. Good spinoff.
Mm-hmm.
Huel, was there anything else you wanted to add?
I just want everyone to know that if Chuckers could jump on live grenades, they would. Not to save their comrades' lives, but as a show of affection.
Oh. How nice.
Yeah.
All right. And on that note, then, let's get a little snifferoo from next week's game.